Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers lose an ugly one at Coors Field. We're going to talk about Walker Buehler, Charlie Blackmon, the offense, and a few other things about this game. So keep it. Let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. We appreciate you making us your first podcast of the day. And maybe for your second one, join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperia of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, it was an ugly game at Coors Field, which is getting redundant at this point, and they ought to just implode that stadium.
Who's going to miss it? I mean, it's a nice place to go to, but I can visit Denver without having to go watch baseball.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to do in downtown Denver. You don't even keep the baseball stadium, you know, play college games, something that doesn't matter, or just take them out of the Dodgers division. That's good enough for me, you know, move them to the American League or the, you know, National League East, make them fly a bunch. I don't care. I'm just tired of that stupid stadium. The Dodgers lost 10-5 to the Rockies. It was close until late. Sam Hilliard put it away with a 3-run homer. It was 6-5 until I think the seventh inning. So it was, not as bad as it could have been, but Walker Buehler really struggled, couldn't even get through four innings. Probably his worst start of the year, up there with that start against the Giants. Unfortunately, his two worst starts of the year have come in his last four starts. So we're going to talk about Buehler's struggles. We're going to talk about Charlie Blackmon forgetting what sport he played and whether or not he is history's greatest monster. And we're going to talk about the offense showing signs of life, the bullpen management, load management in the bullpen, and maybe talk about the possibility of at what point the Dodgers might just throw in the towel and accept the wild card. Obviously, it's not at that point yet, but we'll talk about those hypotheticals anyway. So that's the plan. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers on YouTube and or follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, I guess we'll start with Buehler, right? So it was, it was ugly, and he just didn't have any swing and miss. He only had one strikeout. I think only had three or four swings and misses in his three plus innings of work. And, he just, the wheels came off in the fourth inning, and it got ugly quick, and he was out of there, and that was it.
Yeah, it was. He was getting hit hard. He didn't have much on his pitches. It didn't seem like he was fooling anybody. And like I said, for this to come now, for his kind of three of his worst starts of this season to all come here in the last month, here in his last four starts, has just been unfortunate timing. And he especially for Walker Buehler, because we expect him. He's gotten to the point of almost Kershaw peak, where we're expecting him to go 6-7 innings every time out, allow two runs or less, and just basically be that stopper, be that guy the Dodgers can count on. Be like, okay, you know what? We have a chance to win today because our offense might only have to score a couple runs. And unfortunately, it didn't happen this time. And, you know, he mentioned after the game that it's just something with him. He's got to figure it out. There's just a couple things he thinks he might need to work on or figure out. But a lot of people are bringing up the innings. He's thrown more innings than he ever has before. But realistically, that could be part of it. But as we saw with Julio earlier this year, that's part something you can overcome. I think with him, it's just he hadn't had any bad starts all year. And now they just happen to all come here in the last month rather than, you know, one every month or whatever the case may be for most pitchers.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked pretty much every time the Dodgers have played at Coors Field about don't get too high or too low about anything that happens at Coors Field. And so if this was an isolated start, we wouldn't, not that we would be okay with it, but we wouldn't be super worried about it. If Buehler had been dominant in every other start this year and this was his first bad start, I think we'd just chalk it up to Coors. And there's part of me that still thinks we should do that. That just say, okay, this is a Coors Field start, throw it out, you know. because it was significant. I mean, he was decent his two previous starts, you know, not great last time. I think 3 runs in 6 innings. The time before that, 2 runs in 7 innings. You know, I mean, Buehler, it's not like it's been clunker after clunker. Compared to his midseason dominance, yeah, it's been rough the last couple games. But, you know, so there's part of me that's inclined to just chalk this up to Coors Field. Is there any part of you that feels that way?
I mean, I'm always going to do that just to, even if it's not, you know, I don't see anything. Julio wasn't as sharp yesterday as well. You know, Alex Vesia, who's been really sharp and wasn't as sharp today. So it could potentially be something like that. I'm more than happy to throw it up and chalk it up to it. The other part too is just, you know, people, a couple DMs and a couple people reply to some of the tweets about, you know, are we worried about Buehler? I'm not worried about Walker Buehler. I think he's going to be fine when it comes down to it. If he has to pitch in October, I have no reason to believe he's not going to be the dominant Buehler that he's always been. And especially, you know, that's just a little bit more adrenaline. Yeah, the Dodgers are in a, you know, NL West race, but I don't know. I'm not getting up as much for these games as I would for a game in October. So I think that also adds to it a little bit.
Yeah, and I have a sneaky suspicion that Walker Buehler will not have to pitch at Coors Field in the postseason.
Yeah, that's a healthy, nice take right there.
Yeah, the one good thing about Coors Field is that it hardly ever shows up in the postseason. So at least we can play real baseball then. And, you know, after you mentioned Julio's start on yesterday, that, you know, the bullpen was already worked a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit when we get back about the bullpen and, you know, how they've been used lately and what that might mean for right now and for the postseason. So go ahead and keep it locked on Dodgers, and we'll be right back with that. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Guess what? I share a bed with a Pro Bowl quarterback, an Olympic swimmer, and a national women's soccer star. I guess I should explain. When I heard how many elite athletes sleep on a molecule mattress and call it their best sleep ever, I ordered one for myself, and they are spot on. I'm no elite athlete, as you may be able to tell if you're watching on YouTube right now, but I am a big guy with a lot of aches and pains. And Molecule Sleep Science has literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool to the touch, not like other foam mattresses. It has 6 times the airflow of my old mattress, so it keeps me cool all night. It has zone reflex layers that adjust with me in all my weird sleep positions, so I never awaken with a stiff neck or sore back. And it's antimicrobial. Molecule Mattress is how elite athletes and Jeff Snyder get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule Mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, just return it. Visit onmolecule.com and save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at onmolecule.com. All right, we are back, and I guess we'll talk about the bullpen now. We've got a few other things to talk about, but you know, the bullpen, it's kind of interesting. You know, Evan Phillips pitched on Wednesday night for the first time in like 3 years or whatever it was. You know, I think the last time he pitched was in that long extra inning game, wasn't it? Like, it seems like that's his main role, is coming in long extra inning games. And in this game, he came in because the game had been basically put away, and they said, okay, Evan Phillips, we need you to finish this game because we don't want to use any of our real relievers anymore. It seems like even though they've had 11 relievers on the roster, they're down to 10 now. I guess we didn't mention they activated AJ Pollock and DFA'd Shane Green. So they're down to 10 relievers on the roster, but still they've been using more like 5 or 6 of them and leaving some guys out in the cold. And, you know, I guess there's a lot of different reasons they might be doing that. Vince, what are your thoughts? What do you think is going on there?
Well, one, obviously the guys they've been using are significantly better than guys like Shane Green and Evan Phillips, who Shane Green, I forgot he was still, like, I knew he was a guy that they had. But when they announced the AJ Pollock move, I completely forgot he was still on the roster because I hadn't used him in a while. And if they did, it probably wasn't a game I didn't watch. So it's very easy to miss. And I think it's a way different strategy than we've seen in recent years. Because usually in September, the Dodgers are auditioning guys to see who's going to make the bullpen in October. And now it's kind of seems like they know who's going to make the bullpen in October. And it's just a matter of they need to get – well, they're going to get to October, but it's a matter of, okay, they're trying to win the division. They'd much rather use Blake Treinen, Kenley Jansen, Joe Kelly, you know, Vesia, Bickford, even Gratterall, rather than have to use Brule or whoever else, Shane Green or, you know, or whoever else they have to use, Phillips. So – in that case, I think it's more of they kind of need to win games. And for the most part, since they've gotten their starting pitching back, that's another reason, too, that we're not seeing all these bullpen games. So we're not seeing them having to use Justin Brule as the opener. We're not seeing them having to use guys in the third, fourth inning, whatever the case may be. They have back to five starters or four starters, depending on how you count Gonsolin right now. But, you know, Scherzer's usually going six or seven. Walker, before this month, was usually going six or seven. Julio, same thing. You know, Kershaw's gone pretty deep in his two starts back so far. So it's just a combination of them having starting pitching back, them needing to win these games, and also, yeah, using better pitchers when they need to win.
Yeah, and also maybe this ties into our next subject, because another thing that it seems like is going on is the offensive is keeping them in these games. And so usually in a season, you can kind of count on, okay, every once in a while, we're going to have a game where we are, you know, where we're blowing out the other team or where we're getting blown out even. Obviously not, hopefully not that often of that for the Dodgers, but you expect to have an occasional blowout where you can use the Justin Brules and Evan Phillips of the world and give the other guys a break. But the Dodgers, you know, they've been playing some close games, or even, you know, sometimes their offense shows up a little bit late. And so, you know, you get into the sixth and seventh inning, and even though the final score, they end up winning handily, you know, it's like, okay, this is a tight game where we need to use our top guys. And it seems like they just kind of got to the point on Wednesday where they said, you know, it's a 6-5 game. And they did go with Alex Vesia, but you know, it was like, okay, we can't really afford to go all in on this game because we just had to use all our top relievers yesterday. And it's just kind of, just adds on to itself, and they just haven't had those opportunities that you would expect to come up during a season to have some of those kind of games where they can use their lesser relievers.
Yeah, the other, yeah. I mean, first part on the offense, it's a good sign that they're scoring runs, as with the caveat being that they haven't played the greatest teams, and they did get shut down by Castillo the other day, who was a top tier pitcher, but they were getting shut down by bad pitching on for a while on that little streak where they were only scoring a few runs a game, averaging like 3 runs a game. So it's good that they're scoring when they need to. You know, putting up 5 runs when Walker Buehler's pitching, you would think that would be enough to win a game. They hadn't lost a game like that since July 30th where they've scored 5 runs. Fortunately, it didn't work out that way. But yeah, like you said, it's just one of those things where they know who the guys are in the bullpen already. They're not really auditioning anyone. Maybe Justin Brule, maybe David Price are going to be auditioning for a potential left-handed role out of the bullpen. But realistically, they have the guys that they're going to go with. And they would rather use those guys than not use those guys, especially when they need to win games right now. So it's a matter of we'll see how they handle things here how we're going to talk about this next segment, how they're going to handle things the next week or so, depending how things go in the division. But, you know, it was the right strategy, and it had been working, and yesterday it didn't quite work out. Vesia, you know, maybe they went to the well too many times with Vesia. Maybe he got rattled a little bit with the Charlie Blackmon thing, which we're also going to talk about, and it just didn't happen to work out. But for the most part, it's been working out. And like I talked about on yesterday's episode, the Dodgers bullpen's been the second best in baseball in the second half. So
that's how it is. Yeah. Let's talk about the offense a little bit more. You know, you mentioned they've been pretty good. They've scored 5 or more runs most of the time lately. Obviously, they haven't had any of those big, huge games where, you know, double figures. I think they've maxed out at maybe 8 runs in that time. They did knock around Wade Miley, who has been solid this year. Not so much lately, but like you said, they struggled against Luis Castillo and had to do more against, you know, it's I don't know. I have a hard time deciding, okay, the Diamondbacks and the Reds and then Coors Field, how much of this offensive wake up is due to that and how much is due to them just waking up? And maybe it's, you know, what you need and that's kind of what you expect. Okay, well, we're going to have the Diamondbacks and that'll kind of help wake our bats up. And you know, I guess that makes me a little nervous that they finished the season against the Brewers and the Brewers have two of the top four Cy Young vote getters probably this year. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't put the Dodgers bats to sleep.
Yeah, it's just hitting's an interesting thing, and we're obviously not major league hitters, but you hear confidence, a big word a lot of times, and maybe scoring 5-10 runs against some of these bad pitching can get your confidence up at the plate, and then you can go into face a better pitcher and just feel confident, and that's half the battle sometimes. AJ Pollock had been out, and he's coming back, so that's going to help the offense a little bit. Gavin Lux has kind of been one of those guys. Because when you think about it, other than Gavin Lux and Mookie Betts now has, I think, a hit in 13 straight. And even Trey Turner, who's had a hitting streak, I don't know if he still has it going, but he was really only getting like one hit a game, though. It wasn't like he was tearing the cover off the ball. And even guys like Max Muncy, he's hitting home runs still here and there, but he's not the guy that he was earlier this year. So when you look at the offense being able to put up these runs how they've been without really anyone stepping up or doing anything extraordinary other than maybe Lux, that's another good sign because it could get better. But it's also one of those things where, well, if it doesn't get better, then, you know, it's a fickle thing. And the Dodgers could score 10 runs every game the rest of the season, and I'm not going to feel any more confident now than I do if they did that when it comes to the postseason. So it doesn't really matter. But obviously, scoring runs is more fun.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know Vince well, he lives his entire life with a sense of impending doom about the Dodgers hitting in the postseason. So
yeah. Hey.
That's a, you know, it's a way to live, you know, it's a life choice.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about the potential of throwing in the towel and just accepting the wild card. Again, to reiterate, we're not saying we're there yet. We're going to talk about what would have to happen to get to that point. And we're going to talk about Charlie Blackmon and how, in addition to his terrible beard and his awful nickname, he also now tried to hurt our pitcher. So, you know, he can bite me. So keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget, use promo code LOCKEDON. From football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Did you know there are about a billion different makes and models of cars, and you probably only own one or two of them? So what are the chances that the auto parts store is going to have the parts that you need when you need them that are made for your car? I'll tell you what the chances are, not super good. If you go down to the auto parts store, you'll either find a generic part or you'll go up to them and they'll tappy-tappy on their computer and they'll order you a part that you'll then have to go pick up later. Well, guess what? You can tappy-tappy for yourself. You have a computer or even a phone. And rockauto.com works on both computers and phones because it's on the internet. And you can just go there. You search for your make and model of car. It'll show you all the parts that are available for your car. You say, I want this one. And if you look really close, you'll notice, hey, wow, this is like 30 or 50 or even 100% less than what I would have expected to pay at the auto parts store. So you're going to be happy about it because you're going to save money. You're going to save time. It's going to be more convenient because it'll get delivered straight to your house. They have great customer service and every part you're going to need for your car. So just go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, we're back and we're going to talk. Let's talk about Charlie Blackmon first and then we'll finish up talking about the scenarios in which the Dodgers might throw in the towel on winning the division. But in the I don't know what it was, sixth inning maybe, Charlie Blackman hit a little slow tapper down the first baseline. I think it was the first batter Alex Vesia faced. No, he had gotten the third out of the previous inning, I think. Anyway, first batter of the inning, Vesia charged over to the line, picked up the ball, and chose to tag Blackman out instead of flipping the ball to Muncy at first base. I guess people can differ on what he should have done. In my opinion, it was the right move because his momentum taking him straight towards the line, taking the time to get the ball out of his glove and then try to do a shovel pass over to Muncy, with how fast Blackman was running, I think it would have been bang, bang. And it should have been a pretty simple tag out because he got to the ball before Blackman was there. And so he picked it up and just went to tag Blackman. And instead of trying to avoid the tag or just accepting that he was out, Charlie Blackman instead lowered his shoulder into Alex Vesia, knocked him down, looked like maybe got him in the jaw. It seemed like Vesia was kind of flexing his jaw the rest of the time. Vesia ended up struggling some in his appearance. Don't know if it was because of that. But all in all, I don't know for sure if what Charlie Blackman did was against the rules. But if it's not, I think it should be because my longstanding view on baseball, the reason that I'm in favor of the catcher collision rule, reason I'm in favor of the Chase Utley rule, all that is because, in my opinion, anything that makes baseball more like football is a bad thing. And so Charlie Blackman, pretending he was a linebacker, or actually it looked more like how Deion Sanders used to tackle guys, how like he was afraid to actually use his arms to wrap anybody up. He would just drop his shoulder into him. That's kind of what Charlie Blackman did to Alex Vesia. And, Charlie Blackman has that beard. That's a choice. He chooses to look like that. Charlie Blackman's nickname is Chuck Nasty with a Z. He chooses to have that nickname. And now he chose to go linebacker on Alex Vesia. So three strikes and he's out. That's what I say, Vince.
Yeah, Charlie Blackman has been very annoying this season specifically. He's done well against the Dodgers in his career, but it usually didn't really matter. And now this year he's had a few times where it's just been annoying, especially in the Dodgers situation where they've been kind of chasing the Giants all year and they lost 2 or 3 of the Rockies at home a few weeks ago. Now they could potentially use 2 or 3 again here. And yeah, Charlie Blackman, I don't know, he's just annoying. And it's not in a good way. I don't see any positive things about Charlie Blackman that could be like, oh yeah, like we should keep him around. So I'm all good with that. I actually didn't even see the play with Vesia. I was out at the time throwing the trash away or something. I got tired of the game, so I went for a little walk. So I didn't really ever see the play. But from what you're describing and from what I've seen on social media, yeah, it wasn't that great. But you know what? The Dodgers, after this, they won't have to play the Rockies again this season. And then next year, hopefully, Charlie Blackman just go back to being annoying, but not annoying to the point where it actually affects the Dodgers season.
Yeah, and Evan Phillips did hit Blackman with a pitch the next time up. I think it was probably a message pitch. I think it was probably intentional. He hit him down low. It got him in the calf or, lower leg area. So I guess if you're going to throw at somebody, I'm generally not in favor of throwing at guys on purpose, even just for practical reasons, because the guy gets then go to first base. But at this point, the game is out of hand and didn't throw it where it might do serious damage. So whatever, I guess. But I hope that, I don't know. He should have to shave his beard for that. Although I've seen him without the beard and, that's just what God did to him. But, the beard is something he's doing to himself. Like if you're watching on YouTube, you look on, let me see if I could do that. There it is. Look right there. That's what a beard can look like. That's what a handsome man with a beard, or even an ugly man who covers his face with a beard, you can do it like that. When you choose to do it like Charlie Blackman, it's at least as egregious as choosing to lower your shoulder into a defenseless pitcher. And Charlie Blackman, you're on my list. You understand me, Charles? On my list. And now let's talk about the Dodgers, because it's a Dodgers podcast. Now that I've mentioned that Charlie Blackman is on my list, the Dodgers, as of right now, I haven't checked the score since we started recording, but 25 minutes ago, the Giants were up 3-1 on the Padres.
8-1. I think Tatis just homered, if I can see correctly in this little screen, but yeah.
You said 8-1?
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. So the Dodgers are definitely going to be two games down by the time you're listening to or watching this episode. And two games down with 10 games left to play, which, you know, it's not out of the question, but you look at the schedule, you know, it's going to be hard for the Dodgers to make it. I'd say winning the division outright is almost out of the question at this point. You know, the best hope would be a game 163, and that's not looking super likely. And so, you know, with Walker Buehler's struggles lately, you know, that if you have an inkling that maybe they're due to overuse or just be fatigue from the long season, you know, at what point would you consider maybe skipping Buehler's start, your next start, you know, and just say, you know, we have an off day. We're going to go with a 4-man rotation this time through, and it's going to be Gonsolin instead of Buehler in that fourth spot. You know, do you throw in the towel? The Dodgers have already clinched home field advantage in the wild card game. And so at some point you'll look and see, you know, you'd think there's a point where you're going to say, okay, we're the wild card team, and just lean into that. You know, it makes things less stressful that last weekend against the Brewers where, okay, we don't have to worry about trying to hit Woodruff and Burns. We can just, you know, let Austin Barnes and Luke Raley start, you know, and just kind of do that. But I'm not there yet, but it seems like, you know, losing another game in the standings, or even not gaining at least a game in the standings in the next couple days, it's something to think about, don't you think?
Yeah, I think realistically, it's probably the rest of this week. If they, you know, finish Sunday more than one game out, it's one of those where, you know, you have a decision to make on Buehler. You have a decision to kind of make how you're going to play out the rest of the way. You have a decision to make on a few other guys and see how it goes. Because the other part, too, is just like that last series is such an unknown right now with the Brewers. Like, are they going to go full bore and try to win? Realistically, they don't really have a shot to be the number one seed, and they probably wouldn't even want the number one seed even if they could get it, just because you're going to play either the Giants or Cardinals, who have just been whopping them here the last few days, or the Dodgers. So it's a matter of, okay, they're just going to like throw their guys out there for some five-inning starts, shortened starts, and, you know, just keep them hot in order for the NLDS, whatever. That's a big thing that's contingent upon, where they end with such different teams that we don't know how the Brewers are going to play. But I think you've for sure finish out the rest of this week. You already have everything kind of built out, and then you have the off day Monday, and then you can decide. You know, you can throw Scherzer on Tuesday instead of Buehler, or whatever the case is, or you can skip a guy. Whatever you want to do, they can figure it out. They can even put Buehler, hey, you know, you got five innings or 75 pitches. Maybe Buehler can attack a little bit differently that way, get his mentality back to where they need it to be, something like that. So, yeah, it's definitely played out the rest of this week. If you're more than one game back, then you kind of play day by day from there. But if you're only one game back or better on Sunday, then you kind of have to go for the division at that point.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, I think there's maybe some value even there at 97 wins right now, which means they could top out at 107, which would be the best season in Dodgers history. Or at least LA Dodgers history, you know, that realistically, if they go all out, they have a decent shot of winning 104 games, you know, and that's meaningful. But, you know, if you get to the point where it's like, okay, the Giants are going to win at least 105, is it worth going all out to get to 104? Or do you just say, you know what, we're fine with 102 and just go from there?
And we talked about this just last week, how we thought they could maybe be already in that position where they weren't necessarily going 100% full bore for the division. Sat a couple guys that one day against the Cardinals where they sat three starters, ended up not scoring runs and losing that game. So we've kind of had an inkling that they were doing this already. Then they kind of got back into it because the Padres were able to help them out last week and the Dodgers won. So then they're right back in the thick of it, one game back. Now they're going to be two games back with 10 to play. At the end of tomorrow, they could be one game back again, and then we're kind of in the same predicament. So it's just one of those where I think they're writing it out till Sunday, and then after Sunday, they'll decide, okay, we have a shot at the division, let's go get it, or you know what, it's realistically, let's be healthy heading into October. Let's have all our ducks lined up in order for that wild card game, and let's, you know, take our chances. Realistically, you should win that wild card game. You're going to play a team that you're more than 10 games better than overall, but, you know, it's still scary, obviously, but realistically, that's how they kind of have to think about it, because you should win. You should be in the NLDS no matter what happens here the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I think that's about it for today, right?
Yeah, I got nothing else. I think the Padres are scoring more if I can see it in the background, so maybe they'll have a miraculous comeback in them.
Hey, you know, and that'll make everything we just said moot. If the Dodgers are only a game back by the time you listen to this, then, you know, I hope you listen to that segment anyway. But, you know, it just goes to show little things can happen in this game and change. With this little time left, even the little tiny things matter. So thank you all for listening. We appreciate you making us your first listen of the day every day. If you're not listening every day, add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. You know, that would be awesome. If you haven't checked us out on YouTube yet, go ahead and do that. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. I have a giveaway. I'm giving away a couple Day of the Dead Dodgers bobbleheads as soon as our YouTube channel gets to 1,000 followers. We're pushing 350 right now, so it's growing quick. But if you haven't yet subscribed to Locked on Dodgers on YouTube, do that now. Follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, of course. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked on Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address, if you want to send us an email, is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked on Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked on Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.